And we're live.
Boom, we are.
Welcome to Rain Dogs, a podcast about Tom Waits, kind of. And now your hosts, Marios Kritiotis and Dave O'Brien.
Like, I picture this podcast memeified is that the dude in the bar, and he's, like, yelling in the girl's ear, and the girl's, like, kind
of... But it's both of us.
Right, and it's us just going, yeah. Like, Tom Waits is amazing! And, like, the world is that girl, like, looking off into the distance.
I love it, yeah.
Being mansplained.
That's the listening experience. You get to be the stuffing in a Dave and Mar sandwich.
Yeah, which is, like, who, if you don't want to be there, I don't know what to tell you.
Right, yeah.
That's a privilege, you know, to be there.
Yeah, and an honor.
So, but also, why does Rachel's dogs all hate you so much?
I don't know. So, I think a big part of it is because I'm a man, and most dogs are just avowed feminists and can't take and just don't like men at all. I'm not sure which wave of feminism they would be classified as. I mean, so they're both rescues. They've both had hard lives and seen some shit. So I think they just have enough real-world experience to know that men are trash.
Fair enough.
Other possibilities are that, like, I am much bigger than they are. And, you know, maybe they think I'm too big, move too fast, too loud, all sorts of things. Fritzy, the Sheltie, was a puppy mill breeder. So she was basically like a handmaid for her.
Oh my God.
So I'm guessing like her experience with men was just like strange man comes into her crate every now and then and takes her puppies away. So it's like heartbreaking shit like that.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. This took a turn. It's only fitting that we are talking today, Dave, the Steelers and the Ravens battle for a playoff spot. And I believe I believe the Ravens do not have a chance.
No.
They're done.
They're, what, 8-8? Yeah, I'm not sure where they are in the
hunt. But they can spoil, by beating the Steelers, they can spoil the Steelers' 50% chance of making the playoff. The Steelers have to win today, and then the Jacksonville Jaguars have to beat the Colts, which I think they did. I think the Jags beat the Colts.
In Baltimore.
It's in Baltimore.
Yeah. But like from a Baltimore perspective, that would be as good as making the playoffs themselves.
That's what right. Like you they can end the Steelers postseason hopes at any minute. It could be happening right now. I am so dedicated to this playlist that I turned the game off. I let my kids watch like Netflix and I said it's time for Rain Dogs. So
that's commitment, yeah.
Because Rain Dogs is serious, and you know, for a platinum membership of the at the Bone Machine level, our listeners will know why.
Yeah. And say what you want about our podcast, but it will be responsible for slightly fewer CTEs than the NFL. Yeah. We can't promise that no one's going to come out with a concussion. Like, no one will get concussions.
There's head injury risk, for sure.
Right, yeah. But there will be a less of a risk than if you play in the AFC North.
That's, AFC North, yeah. One of the highest, I would say, concussion risks.
Well, yeah, because it's a good division.
Listening to Tom Waits, almost injury-free. Like, injury-proof, really.
I would say that's like... NFC West offense.
Definitely. I was doing a COVID calculator today because I started freaking out. And so like there's an algorithm or something that you can like put all your stuff in. And it tells you like how likely you are to die, right, of COVID. And and mine was really low. Mine was like a terrible like 2.4% or something.
Wow.
But I was thinking in my head like, it's only 2 out of 100, you know.
Yeah.
I could be dead, so hopefully we don't get that OMI. That's why we're starting this podcast, though, because I think, you know, if people are going to quarantine again, we're going to maybe look inward at some of the things that we love in the world And Tom Waits, we think, deserves a little closer look, right? Is that
whatever keeps people inside and sad and not socializing with other people?
Yeah. I mean, you can listen to A Little Rain, you know, and then just cry, and then and you will not get Omicron variant, just like you won't get a concussion.
That's true. Yeah. It's the equivalent of like wearing a helmet and a mask.
Yeah. I'm taking a screenshot right now because we're going to post this. I'm going to tweet this. It's like a teaser.
Oh my God.
For my like 400 Twitter followers. That
we can get it up to, we'll get that up to 5, don't you worry.
I think I had a really I had a intense prediction for Jewel. I said by the end of 2020 by the end of 2022 this podcast would have a blue check.
My prediction, by the end of 2022, we will have figured out Audacity, and we will have released one teaser episode.
Listen, as long as it's recording.
Yeah.
I have a feeling about it. I really do. Patrick,
yeah,
we're going to have to consult Patrick, which sucks, you know, because he doesn't even like Tom Waits. Which, but this, that's, again, part of why I think we're doing this.
How do you feel about calling, having a Zoom call with Patrick just to like have him talk us through Audacity, but it's really an ambush episode?
Oh, dude, that's like that. We have to do that. We have to do that.
Yeah.
That could be like another bonus for like our, like, you know, whatever, the Bone Machine subscribers.
Right,
Bone Machine would be another. That's actually funny because I've been associating this podcast with Rain Dogs because I think it's funny. But Bone Machine is a very funny name as well because there's a little sexual double entendre there.
Yeah.
Bone Machine.
Also,
that might be their first merch item or something. Might be Bone Machine.
Right. Bone Machine. Also, if you're a gamer, Pwn Machine would probably be a pretty cool screen.
That would be a great name for a screen.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pour a little extra splash of rye. I'm drinking rye right now.
Oh, nice.
I just thought it wouldn't be appropriate to talk about Tom Waits without drinking something. And
I might grab some in a minute, but what kind of rye?
This is a the Hudson whiskey.
Oh yeah, yeah. You sent a picture.
My sister-in-law got it. They actually had to change. They can't call it bourbon. There's some like law. When we were down there, they probably talked about this, and I wasn't listening because I was. Yeah. Like we were annihilated from like 9 a.m. every day, but
it's like a champagne's got to be from Champagne France,
right?
Kind of deal,
So they called it baby bourbon from New York. They're from like upstate New York or somewhere, and they're crushing it. Like I've had a couple things now from them that I'm like that I love, but they're harder to find, you know, because there's this weird brown liquor shortage right now. Like with blogs and everybody's into like owning Pappy and all this shit.
Yeah.
So I haven't found the baby bourbon in a while, and I haven't even found this one, but this rye is something nice. So
if I were running a distillery and I couldn't use bourbon, I would just pick the name of a different French dynasty. Like, this would be like, this is just a batch of Merovingian
would be Orleans. Such a good name for a brown liquor.
Yeah. Out of nowhere, but French dynasty is... A funny thing that I saw recently was some historian was tweeting out like, you know, some early chronicle of like missionaries converting the Franks. And so like it was like some like now saint who's a bishop who was like trying to convert Clovis, who's the king of the Franks. And he gets to the part where he's telling him about the crucifixion. And I guess when he hears what happened, Clovis just like jumps up to his feet and goes, "If my Franks and I had been there, we would have avenged him." Like...
That's incredible.
Which, I mean, you love the enthusiasm, but that must have been like an issue when you were like a missionary back today, like convert, like trying to like evangelize all these like warrior tribes. Like, get to the end, and they're like, "Oh, he did what? We got to fuck him up right now."
Wait,
what?
They had swords,
but and he just did nothing. Let's go get him. Let's get him. No. The Romans are our friends now. We got that.
So I recently took a Twitter hiatus because I was waking up every day and was being filled with despair. So I peaced out for like 9 days or something. And then I came back and I tweeted, has anyone ever just sat around thinking about the siege of Sevastopol? And Keegan, we're going to have to give our boy Keegan Gibson a shout out if this ever makes it onto the app. He responded, I'm just saying, if I was there, it would have gone down differently, or like something like that. And it just made me like, that is the best response. Like, that's such an edgelord response from from Clovis. Like, if we were there, the Franks wouldn't have let Jesus die on the cross. We would have like fought Pontius Pilate.
Oh, the disciples just let him happen. If I were there, we would have fucked shit up.
Right.
I guess that's just us.
I guess I'm just built different.
Yeah.
That absolutely rules.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Clovis, what a guy. Oh.
What a name, too.
What a name. What a guy. That's like one of the rare occasions in history where the name really works for the dude, you know? Like, yeah. Mussolini, very cool name. Not a cool guy. Not a bad guy. I'd put him on a very low tier of a human, you know?
Mussolini should have been someone who's cool enough to get like a kind of pasta named after.
That's what I mean. Like,
Mussolini,
it kind of almost
sounds like a great pasta.
Right. Yeah. Like, right. It'd be one of those really nice kind of, maybe like a spaghetti with a hole in it. I love how they made spaghetti and they were like, let's make one just like this, but make it like a reverse spaghetti, you know, like an inverse spaghetti.
Right.
And of course we're talking about the bucatini, which
if
you don't know about the bucatini, you better educate yourself.
For listeners out there, check out Bucatini. Yeah.
This episode has been brought to you by Bucatini.
By Bucatini. Yeah. If you've ever eaten spaghetti and thought, what this really needs is some dead space in the middle, that's Bucatini, baby.
I was just reading about this guy. You know this guy. The studio Ghibli guy?
Oh, Miyazaki.
Miyazaki. My sister's laughing at me because she can see me doing this. I told her to use another entrance into my house. So I just have to say, Vicky, if you're listening to this, you can't laugh at me because this is a dream that Dave and I had, and we're realizing it. Okay, what have you done today?
Shout out to Vicky, our first listener.
But Miyazaki has he was being interviewed, and the guy said, "I love how your people like will just sit by a stream and they won't do anything, but the stream will keep moving, you know, in animation." And Miyazaki said, "That's there's a Japanese word for that, and it means like emptiness, empty space." And he's like, "That's the problem with you Americans. Like, you don't have enough empty space pauses to like reflect." But like, we do. It's in Bucatini. Like, that's where our pause is, you know? It's in our
also
pasta.
Also inside all of us, but
also in our healthcare.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get distracted by all the shit that's moving around on the outside.
No, just reflect on the stillness and the eternity of your no coverage.
Yeah, it's just our souls and our institutions that are empty.
Damn. Speaking of failed institutions, I don't know. I was going to say Rain Dogs is based on New York, but I feel like that we can't segue into Tom Waits yet. This is going in a good direction here. We got Clovis. Checked up we dropped a note on Clovis and Miyazaki in ep one or ep zero, whatever this is. If you're white and over 30, like 2, this is gonna be you're gonna love this one.
We've already talked about Small Batch Rye.
We talked about Small Batch Rye. Oh god. Well, what is my son yelling about? He's fine. Oh, kids are the worst.
Probably fine.
Kids ruin everything. I tried to explain to them both what I was doing and why they couldn't bother me because I was about to record a podcast. And they were like, "What's a podcast?" And I was like, "Don't worry about it." And I was like, "It's on Tom Waits." And they said, "Who's that?" So I played them. I played them Cemetery Polka, and they were like, "This is what the heck? Like, this is nuts." And then I played them. I played them Hoist That Rag, and they thought that was weird too. So, bummer.
Yeah. I don't know. The question of like, what's the best way to get children into Tom Waits is that's a tricky one.
So
maybe we'll maybe we'll unravel that mystery.
You know what?
Over the
course
of this.
Yeah, part of the, I think the goal of this podcast would be, especially, well, this is actually very sincerely in the vein of what we've kind of wanted to hit on is like, how do you explain to like an average person? Because Tom Waits, like from a, what do you call it? Like in, from a like cosmetic standpoint is not, not something that people would really ever want. Like you wouldn't hear like a Tom Waits song and immediately be like, fuck yeah. Like this is a bop. This is a banger. You know, like,
right.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's an acquired taste. Like
it's, yeah, but like it's a super weird acquired taste.
Yeah.
That like seems to attract like a certain type of person. And, there's a little bit of self-awareness of douchery, you know, like,
yeah,
like my cousin was over yesterday and they saw the microphone stand by my desk and they saw the book about Tom Waits on the desk as well, and they were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm gonna start doing this podcast on Tom Waits. And they were, and Nicole was like, oh, I just don't like his voice, I don't like the way he's too experimental, I don't really like him, but good for you, that's great, it sounds like it's gonna be a good time. And I was like, you're never gonna listen. Even when I email you the link. But, like...
Look, what? As long as she...
Oh, wait, go ahead.
I was going to say, as long as... she just has to listen. As long as she just, like, streams it a couple of times, we'll still get the numbers.
That's true. All we need is, like, a stream from everyone we know, and I feel like we
then we'll get that MailChimp.
We give Patrick a couple streams with his freaking crappy band. No offense, Patrick.
Yeah.
I actually love your band, so...
Yeah.
I've been, what is happening? I have to know. Oh my god, I think the Steelers lost.
Oh shit.
That is so freaking funny, dude. I went to Ben Roethlisberger's last game.
No, they won.
That is so funny. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
The end of an era, man.
I went to So I went to the game, and it's miraculously I did not get the Omicron variant of the novel coronavirus, at least not yet.
Right. Yeah.
But it's been a week, right? I mean, like, so I feel like begin to feel kind of yucky after a week? Would you say?
I think like 3 to 5 days is when you'd start to like be able to have enough of a viral load for the test. But you could also just be asymptomatic.
Maybe I'm asymptomatic, dog. Mm-hmm. But. So my cousin had tickets, and he was like, "Mar, we gotta go. It's Ben's final home game, and he with two of our dearest friends out here, one of whom will probably be on the podcast because he's a big weights, he's a weights boy, he's a rain dog, if you will.
A fellow RD.
He's a fellow RD. So I was like, yeah, we gotta go, whatever. And then I was like, I don't know, like. It's a complicated legacy, you know, I would say, Ben Roethlisberger, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's fair.
You and I have discussed, you know, caring less about the NFL, you know, is something that is affecting both of us. Some NFL ennui, if you will, right? You know?
Yeah.
But I went, and it was a strangely, emotional experience. Like, I was like... Oh my God, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's been the quarterback for my whole life. I've had my heart broken. I've had a lot of good things happen to me, but a lot of bad things. Like everything has happened while this giant slab of ground chuck beef has been the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like he's like just this like, he's like a Slim Jim of a human. Like,
yeah. He's just a great big ham steak.
He's like a big ham steak of a quarterback. Has just dominated my adult life up until now. And as we said, you know, we're in our mid-30s now. So, you know, his retirement and our impending kind of mid-career crisis that we're probably going to have. Another maybe subtle reason why we began the podcast.
You don't start a podcast if you know where you're going in life.
If you're... If you wake up every day and you're like, fuck yeah, I love my job, you do not say to your friend,
I have purpose.
Let's start a podcast about an obscure cult literary and musical figure. Which, by the way, speaking of the literary figure side of Tom Waits, this is going back to him now. Like, did he start as a I don't know this because it's not in what I'm reading, but like he was going for like the beatnik thing, right? You know, like the William S. Burroughs. He's got to be.
I think so. Yeah.
And is the hat just like a he like it stuck around because he's obviously moved on, you know, aesthetically from his like, you know, first couple records, which of course we're going to highlight in detail on this beautiful podcast. But he seems to keep that. He's kept the very like stiff brimmed fedora, and you got to just respect that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I always saw that as sort of like, I don't know if it's a nod or just sort of, you know, how, the way he's like sees himself within like the jazz tradition.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, you know, he's, you know, kind of making himself, you know, dressing a little bit like, you know, sort of a cool loungy jazzy type figure.
Well, this was the time. It's funny. And, if I bring this up again, just beat me up for repeating shit. But he lived when he was recording this record with John Lurie from the Lounge Lizards, who is, you know, like a cult figure in New York and has the show on HBO now, Painting with John.
Never seen it.
Oh, man, you got it. It's so great. He's just a crazy Hunter S. Thompson-esque kind of character. But he, you know, he was in the jazz band, the Lounge Lizards in New York in like the 70s, and 80s, and was like kind of in the middle of all the craziness of that, that was New York at that time. And all the like interesting characters wanted to hang out with him, you know, Bourdain, you know, later in life, Bourdain and him, like, you know, it's like that crew of people that like epic dudes kind of want to meet epic dudes want to meet John Lurie. So Tom Waits was living with him while they were recording Rain Dogs.
Wow.
And I think he plays on something. I might be making that up. So I'll look through this freaking goddamn book again.
Yeah. I will say, I think like there's like this Tom Waits online archive run by people who clearly know way more about Tom Waits than we ever will. And I think they're Dutch or something. Like, there are, like, Europeans out there who
he has a worldwide following. Yeah. I mean, like, his tours, you know, because, like, another thing that I think is so interesting about this dude, and again, I mean, I'm contractually obligated to bring up Bob Dylan every conversation I have. It's part of my the deal that I've made with Columbia Records. You know, Bob has been very elusive to the press, but he tours at, like, you know, 150 days a year or whatever every year, and he's constantly on the road and he's constantly releasing shit. It's you know, sometimes not great, but you know, he releases like B-sides and all this shit, like every year, but he puts out another box set or new music. And we haven't had a new Tom Waits album in, I want to say it's been over 10 years since like original music. I think he's like had a couple re-releases.
Yeah, but if we're talking like original studio stuff, then what would be the last?
Glitter and Doom, the live album, came out in 2009. And then Bad Is Me, which is good. Bad Is Me is a very good record. Came out in 2011. So it's been, it's been 11 years since he put out an album. He's only 74?
Two? Or something like that?
Yeah, I think he might be 72. And well, the Tom Waits, the Dutch Tom Waits fans are going to correct us and email us and fuck us, like kill us for fucking this up. But we're not Tom Waits historians, okay? We in the very Tom Waitsian spirit, we're like, we're just jazzing up here, baby. We're just jawboning, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just a couple of guys.
This is a podcast about loving and enjoying something. And we all do it in different ways.
We don't do ours accurately. And that's okay. But his last concert, the last time he played was in the Netherlands. That's so funny. What is going on in the Netherlands with Tom Waits?
I don't know what they're up to, but it's big. It's going to be big. I don't know what it is.
They played with a guy named F. Van Dursen. Who's F. Van Dursen was the guy he played with him. Oh, he's like a freaking Franz von Dursen. He's a actor, singer, and writer, and composer. So he must be like a weird art dude Tom Waits wanted to play with.
Tom Waits brought in Flea and Les Claypool to do bass tracks on Bad As Me.
Did he really?
Yeah. I'm looking at the track now.
It's good. And of course, that's a good album.
Richard's on guitar, too. Yeah. I should check that out.
That's like the that's the album I got to last, because I just like when I, you know, obviously what our personal journeys into Tom Waits we'll obviously get into, but like I got into him around this Rain Dogs era, and so I did like Rain Dogs, Swordfish, Trombones, and Frank's Wild Years, and then I kind of went from back to the first album, which like kind of sucks. Sorry, Tom. But and then worked my way up, and I just don't think I ever got to Bad As Me. Like I just like, you know, I was like, I would always stop at like, what's the one that I love so much that like later on, and his Mule Variations from 1999.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd kind of stop at Mule Variations, or the one I like a lot up there is what Real Gone. And that's what 04. That has like Trampled Rose. Yeah, Real Gone. So I never get to Bad As Me. And but yeah, so he hasn't put out a record in 11 years, and he hasn't toured since since his favorite people, the Dutch. He was with the Dutch Babies in 2013. So this he hasn't toured in 9 years. So he's just, we might be ready for a little wait. He might have something up his sleeve, you know?
Yeah, or maybe, yeah, I don't know. Here's going to be a hot take. I think I need to re-listen to it, but Bad As Me might be Tom Waits' Love and Theft.
Oh. I could see, you know what? I mean, that could be it, you know? And like he could, or maybe like, oh man, no, wait, here we go. Oh God. We're kicking into the Bob Dylan side of the brain here. What if Real Gone was his Love and Theft, and then Bad As Me is his Modern Times, which means the next one is going to suck.
Shit. I guess we'll have to wait to see how that pattern holds.
He's only, Wikipedia says he's 72. Yeah, you were right. He's 72. So he's got, come on, Tom. Hey, you're like what? He's like 7 years older than my mom. Come on, dude. You got to step it up.
I assume your mom's still putting out albums regularly, so I don't know.
Oh wait, shit! This is a bad example because she's retired. But I would just say, if my mom can, you know, watch my kids once a week, you can write one song a week, Tom Waits. You're Tom Waits.
Yeah.
Get a new album out. You can promote it on our show. Our show's going to be huge by the time you put, you know, start the writing process and stuff. So like, just hit us up. We'll have a Gmail account set up after this part, this ep, and it'll be great.
Yeah, and we're talking studio album, not live album.
No, but I do want to eventually. I have not listened to Glitter and Doom in many moons, but his performances on Letterman are special. They're great, and his relationship with Dave Letterman is super cool. You know, I wonder if I'm gonna have to check in and see if there's a book that like dives into that. But Letterman, what a guy, what an interesting relationship with musicians too. Like he was like best friends with Zevon,
you know? yeah Zevon did his last I think live performance on Letterman.
Yeah, and Dave's obviously in the iconic song about the bruiser from Big Beaver who from the Borderline, who started playing hockey at the time he was nine. What was it? Buddy the goon from the famous song "Hit Somebody" by Warren Zevon. Letterman offers his voice to that. He says Letterman is the guy who screams "Hit Somebody" in the chorus. So
nice.
Gonna have to listen to that tonight. Well, it's officially like hockey season now for most people because the NFL, you know, is winding down. Even though for us the NFL's kind of been over for a while because we just don't care. Yeah. I can't tell. I can't decide if it's a steal, like, because my beloved hometown team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, are showing their age and showing their weakness, or if is it the CTE and the shittiness, like the jingoistic bullshit that we deal with every week?
Is it them or you?
Is it them or me?
Both?
I think it's me. I think like I watch football and it's so like just shitty now, and like, you know, it's turning people's brains into pancake batter.
Yeah,
it sucks.
I mean, for me anyway, it's definitely definitely me. Like, I know both of us have been like really into, you know, we've been into it even during years when our teams just were absolute trash.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
You know, I've been, you know, I was the Ravens. I was like following the Ravens even during like a lot of losing seasons, and boy, have they had plenty. At some point, I don't know if it was like the combination of like the CTE stuff. It was just like, you know, me changing and getting interest in other things, the whole Kaepernick thing.
For sure. That had a huge, you know, that was a huge part of it.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm just like at a place in my life where like whatever I was using the NFL for, I just don't need anymore. I've got enough bullshit distractions that will to keep me occupied. And I don't know. Either I don't need that as a way to connect with other humans again, or I've just given up on connecting with other humans. So regardless, it's just served its purpose.
It served its purpose. Weed is legal now in a lot of places, so maybe we just don't need, you know, now on a Sunday afternoon, you can, you know, drink a Pabst Blue Ribbon high seltzer, 10 milligrams of THC, cannabis-infused non-alcoholic beverage. I'm reading that because I just learned that's a thing. That's an actual product that exists in the world right now, is a PBR marijuana seltzer. So,
wow. That's what a time to be alive.
Everything sucks, but you can drink, you can get high off of PBR.
Yeah.
I mean,
your kids are growing up in a world where they can get high on a PBR and they will no longer have to worry about spelling Roethlisberger.
It's only looking up for them. You know,
yeah.
I thought by now we would have the Demolition Man-esque future where, like, if you swore, you know, a ticket would come out, and that's how people wipe their butts. Like, that's one of the best scenes in Demolition Man. I don't know if you remember. Are you familiar with Demolition Man?
Oh, I'm very familiar with Demolition Man. But as soon as you said it, I realized Taco Bell, as we well know, just started its $10 a month taco subscription, which I believe might be how they end up winning the fast food wars, as was prophesized in Demolition Man. Because as we all know, in Demolition Man, the only restaurant left is Taco Bell.
Oh, my
Bell.
God. Yes.
This is the move. This is how it happens. This is the first shot.
That absolutely, dude. So they did it. They cracked the code. They got the Birch Box basically for tacos. And I thank you, David, for bringing that up because I needed to hear that. Because I was getting a little sour on Taco Bell. There had been a couple evenings where, I'd have to go out for work or something and have a shitty steak or something for dinner. You know, you go to like a restaurant, they give you like bull crap. You know, you go to a fancy restaurant, they're like, this is, you know, an award-winning meal. It's like pickled octopus that's like, you know, been brined, you know, for, you know, 20 years in the Mayan salts of like, you know, whatever. And it's tiny. You know, the dish, the plate is small, the entree is small. You know, there's only so much salt from the Mayan Empire left, you know, to marinate this octopus in. Driving home, I'm a little hungry, and I go to Taco Bell, and it just has really let me down the last couple attempts. So it's good to know for $10 a month, I can just test it out month to month. Maybe they get somebody new in there.
Taco Bell, live mas.
This is living mas.
Ready for your sponsorship whenever you are, Taco Bell.
This is like the fourth brand, PBR. I mean, this is a gold mine for people, I think. I really do think
so. And I want to make this absolutely clear to any potential sponsors out there. We will shill your product.
We'll shill anything. RNC, call us. You know, we'd be happy.
Yeah.
You know, Rick Santorum, if you're running for office, you want to pay us, you know, some money to bring you on here, talk about Tom Waits, like we're willing.
Yeah.
We're willing to talk.
We will. Money talks, baby. Yeah.
Money talks and bullshit walks.
Also free products too. If you're going to sponsor us, we're going to expect some free products ourselves.
I think I'm almost positive. I have to look right now. So Money Talks.
Is that a Tom Waits song?
No, like he, I guess, is famously coy and silly with interviewers. Like he doesn't really try. He kind of gives people a lot of bullshit. Like that's one of the things that's going to be the hardest, I think, for us. As truth seekers, and we are, that's what we are. We're searching for these, you know, kernels of truth in Tom Waits, in his art, you know, and what is art if not a lie? All art, you know, is a lie. It's something tricking your brain into believing it's something it's not, right? There's a truth to Tom Waits, but it's not in interviews because he lies a lot. He makes up fake stories like about his past. And I, but I guess during the rain, like during the Rain Dogs era, where when he didn't want to talk to interviewers, he would go back to some slogan that he would just say over and over again. I'm trying to find it. Oh yes, he says champagne for my real real friends, real pain for my sham friends.
Sham friends. Yeah.
And like, so he would just bring it up. It was not Money Talks Bullshit Walk. Sorry. It was champagne for my real friends, real pain for my sham friends. Apparently, every time he got uncomfortable during an interview during the Rain Dogs era, like 1985, he would just like say that slogan over and over again. When I would just want to
have a catchphrase.
When I just want to like nope out of a Zoom meeting, you know, like you're at a, like, Dave, what do you think about this? And it's like, you just say champagne for my real friends, real pain for my sham friends. Power move, Tommy.
Yeah, power move. I mean, I guess when you got to show up to an interview sober, that's your out.
So the famous Heath Ledger. Let's just knock out a couple of these real quick before I have to go cook my kids dinner here. Like we have to like while we're here. Like wait, how was I going to put this? We'll edit this part out, but...
Yeah, we'll edit all of this out. This is good. We've probably gotten to have like 6 minutes of material in here that we're just going to splice together.
No, but the... you know, like, he has this weird...
Heath Ledger interview.
Yes, yes. Yeah, like, there's something to... Like, there's... He has these iconic... Everybody knows that Heath Ledger modeled... You know, there was a YouTube theory that Heath Ledger... modeled his Joker after like a Tom Waits interview. Even if you don't know Tom Waits' music, that moment was so viral. I feel like most people know that, you know.
And this is the like he's drunk and on that Australian.
What do you
show.
Think? So okay, so we've been playing a game in our house. What drugs are the Beatles on during Get Back?
Interesting.
I think Paul is on coke in Get Back. I think he's on coke a lot more than I think was ever reported. Because he has cokey behavior. Like, Lennon's obviously zonked out on heroin. Ringo is in Deep Space Nine. You know, Ringo smoked himself into Deep Space Nine. George, I think, is mostly sober, actually, and he's just annoyed at everybody because he's trying to make his own record. But Paul has cokey behavior. I'm curious. But what do you think Tom Waits was on in that interview?
So, a lot of booze, obviously. But I think... I want to say, like, maybe as some sort of, like a sedative or something. Like
a barbiturate type.
Yeah, barbiturate, because he's kind of loopy. Like, this is, like, 70s. This would have been, like, prime. Like, would this be, like, Quaaludes
oh,
era?
Yeah.
I feel like Quaaludes and booze is, like, the cocktail you're looking for when you want to hit that exact, that peak of performance.
Well, he was, like, he was interviewing... on Australian TV, but the host was like this kind of wise guy type dude. Like he had an American accent. He was American. I don't know the guy, but he was clearly like a New York. Yeah, he was like, hey, you know, I'm talking like the, you know, I'm walking here type accent.
This is how we all talk in Adelaide.
You know, maybe he has like really bad social anxiety or something. I have to look at. I'm sure the
that's my guess.
I'm sure the freaking the historians that are going to contact us and tell us how inaccurate the show is will tell us when. And that's not to disrespect any listener, future listener out there, because please correct us if we're factually wrong, and we will broadcast your corrections on the next episode because we want the we are at the end of the day we're rock and roll historians, right? I mean, that's what we're doing. This
right.
We're storytellers.
We're storytellers, but yeah, I mean, for me, I think the truth is just in the music itself. We can look at the interviews and maybe we'll get something there, but the songs, the music, that's really where we're going to find.
That's what we're going to focus on, yeah.
That's where we're going to find what's really the profitable content, I think.
Well, mainly because, and because of the, you know, again, like the thesis, I guess, of this is, like, I do think there's something for Tom Waits and everybody, right? You know, like,
yeah,
it's got to be. It's not something that I don't feel like it's very elitist. It's not like classical music or something where it's like, oh, I like Tom Waits and you just can't get your head around it. Like, it's a lot simpler than even like a Dylan to me. Like, it's, but it, the, I mean, he's as I would say he's on the level of like a Leonard Cohen and a Bob Dylan. He's as important to like American letters and like music with a capital M as all of them. You know, like Joni Mitchell, Leonard Cohen, Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Like, the most insufferable music fans you know will all acknowledge Tom Waits.
Yeah. And I think, you know, but he's not really played on like classic rock. Like, I don't hear him on classic rock stations. I don't hear him. Like, he doesn't come up on like, if you had like a Led Zeppelin, you know, Pandora station on in like 2011, you would not hear Tom Waits, you know?
He was always like a college radio kind of guy.
Yeah.
And does that even exist anymore? I have no idea.
I'm going to assume. I don't know, because like when we were on the radio at Slippery Rock University, Slippery Rock hit us up for a sponsorship. SRU, go Pride. Speaking of, I just have to talk a little bit of shit on my alma mater real quick. When you their mascot was the Rockets, the Slippery Rock Rockets.
That makes sense. That's a good mascot.
They changed it to the Pride, like lions, like the Pride.
Oh, okay. Not so, like the feeling of pride.
Not the feeling of pride, which I think would be a nice mascot. You know, we ought to have more emotion mascots, you know? Like,
are they just, like, drafting on Penn State? Like, all right, you're the Nittany Lions. We're just a pride. We're a whole pride of Lions.
It's kind of like a power move, you know? Like, oh, you're the Lions? We're the pride. That's the correct way to say it, asshole.
We're the collective now.
Yeah. But terrible. Go back to the Rockets, Slippery Rock, before you hit us up for a sponsorship. We're not going to sponsor you if you're... We're not going to accept your money if you're still the pride. But when we were on the radio there, I'm sure it was maybe the final year before it moved to podcasts, I would assume. You know, like, there's still a radio department, but I'm sure it's all... Like, we had the CD room, you know, we had, like, a room with full of CDs, and you had to, like, run around and like grab it, you know, and like pull the CD out, pull, you know, find a track, put it in like your whatever, you know, put up some talk bed music. I don't think that exists anymore, but maybe we'll have to ask our buddies at Rock in the Suburbs podcast, Jim Lenahan and Patrick Foster. Another shout out to the homies. They just started a radio station. So yeah, it's called Suburbs Radio, and you can find it. I don't know where. You can find it on suburbspod.com. We're not being paid to say that. Those are just some cool dudes.
We will be, though.
But we will be. Yeah, maybe there's a partnership. Jim and Patrick, hit us up. But there's a little bit of Tom Waits, I think, for everybody. Everybody, you know, like, I remember I was on a political campaign, and I was talking about how much I love Tom Waits, and the candidate themselves, we're going to just keep this as neutral as possible because I don't want to out this person who maybe doesn't want people to know they like Tom Waits.
I mean, I don't think you can recover from that in politics if that comes out.
But they were like, oh, I love I Hope I Don't Fall in Love with You. I love that song so much. And it's a great song, but I'm always like, that's you're not a Tom Waits. You like that song, but you don't. That's like saying that you like McDonald's because you like the French fries. You know, like, come on. The fries are great. We're not going to say they're not. But
it's one of the most accessible Tom Waits songs.
It's easy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a song they play in romantic comedies. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we are all about finding that entry point for Tom Waits for people.
And if that's the entry, then you know what? If that's the hook that gets them, that's fine by me.
So be it. Yeah.
Because, and then I think you and I, once we have the hook, then we can reel them in, you know, to keep this fishing metaphor going.
Then we're going to get you into the weird shit.
Then you're going to get into the weird shit.
That's how we Waits pill you.
You will all be Waits pilled by the end of this podcast. So for all who have made it this far into the podcast, we are Dave and I. This is Marios. And
this is Dave.
Yeah, so there's Dave. And we're going to do a podcast about Tom Waits, and it's going to be called Rain Dogs.
Yeah. And it's not just about the album. It's about the rain dogs that you encounter in life. And that's the secret. We're all rain dogs, and I am a rain dog too.
Oh my God, that was perfect.
That's our bumper. Yeah,
there we go.
Also, you know, if we're thinking of like slogans or catchphrases, Tom, it's Waits for dinner. Think about that one.
Oh man, I love it.
Yeah. Well, cool. Tom Waits for no man. Shit.
Tom Waits. Oh my God. Speaking of, so I wanted to name this. I was going to ask you if we could rename it Waits, do tell me. You know, like, wait.
Ooh.
So I swear to God, so I'm looking up because I'm a petty bitch. I am. I wanted to see how many other Tom Waits podcasts there are, right?
Yeah.
And
they're like 800?
No. Like we're actually kind of in a good spot here.
All right.
For, you know, like, I think we could become, there's one called Down in the Hole, which is a great name for a Tom Waits podcast.
Shit. Yeah.
And there's one called Waits, Don't Tom Me. Waits, Don't Tom Me. So I got to check. I'm going to have to dive into that one and check it out. I think we have to listen to that.
I mean, I think we have a recurring, like, trivia game show segment that we call Waits, Do Tell Me.
Bingo. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Yeah. We're stealing, because these guys haven't had a podcast in almost a year, and they only have a handful. So I'm in it for the, I don't know about you. I'm like COVID. I'm in it for the long haul here, Dave.
Yeah.
No vaccine is going to stop me.
Everyone's going to be suffering from long-term rain dogs.
Thank you for listening. This has been a WTF production. If you like this show and you want to check out our other shows, be sure to listen to Sex Wrist, Injuries, Conversations with That One Guy from Kentucky Who Looks Like Scott, and Red Cross, The Untold Story. See you next time.